Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 25th of November, 2024, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including the pros and cons of tariffs for agriculture and debating whether or not net farm income is actually good right now. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com and your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here too, calling for varying weather conditions this week, but much colder air after Thanksgiving. And the ag markets on Friday mixed, only beans higher. We'll have settlements and Brian Basting market analysis on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
The pros and cons to tariffs for agriculture and finding more disaster relief money for farmers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Ever since Donald Trump won the election nearly 3 weeks ago, many have been concerned about a possible spike in tariffs, especially if other countries put retaliatory tariffs back on U.S. ag exports. CJ Miller reports how some ag leaders are expressing the pros and cons of such tariffs.
When tariffs are put on other countries, a lot of times agriculture community carries the blunt of the retaliation of what comes with those tariffs.
And that's Zippy Duvall, president of American Farm Bureau Federation. Ag leaders remember the steep retaliatory tariffs they faced on ag exports during President Trump's first term import tariffs.
We are just looking for fair trade across the board. We're not necessarily fans of a tariff approach to that.
Troy Bradenkamp, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Renewable Fuels Association. In spite of those concerns, he says he's encouraging Trump to take a look at imposing tariffs on Brazilian imports since they've placed an 18% tariff on U.S. ethanol.
And we would certainly expect President Trump and his administration to realize that that is an unfair playing field and take the appropriate response, which could be pretty significant tariffs on any Brazilian products coming into the U.S.
In the meantime, Bradenkamp argues that China should not get a U.S. tax break for its used cooking oil exports to make sustainable aviation fuel.
We would fully expect the Trump administration to take a look at that and to take action to maybe pull a lot of that back or to curtail a significant portion of that used cooking oil that is currently coming into the U.S.
President Trump says he plans to place universal import tariffs of 10% to 20% and 60% on the imports of Chinese goods. He says those tariffs will raise revenue and bring manufacturing jobs back home to the U.S. I'm C.J. Miller.
This is as dire a circumstance that I can see in my time in trying to address the saving of rural America.
That's Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran at a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing last week on Capitol Hill. Senate appropriators argued for more disaster help for farmers while slamming USDA's positive spin on net farm income during the hearing. USDA Deputy Secretary Zochiel Torres-Small insisted recent net farm income has been pretty good.
The last 4 years, one has been a banner year, setting record numbers. The other three have all been within the 20-year national average.
Top ag Republican John Bozeman wasn't impressed with the data point.
20-year average doesn't mean anything right now. There's no person working in America that wants to be at the 20-year average.
Especially farmers, when their costs are sky high and crop prices are in the ground. North Dakota Republican John Hoeven.
Figure out your pay for the last 20 years, and you're getting the average, the 20-year average. And then figure out what your expenses are today, fuel, fertilizer, and everything else. You're way below cost. So number one, across the country, that's what our farmers are seeing.
President Biden asked Congress for $98 billion, mostly for hurricane victims and infrastructure needs. It's unclear what Congress can agree on amid uncertainty over all fiscal year 25 spending. Moran urged colleagues to direct USDA on how to spend available disaster dollars. And finally today, Agrinovis Indiana invites you to their final quadrant event of 2024. That's next Wednesday, the 4th, in Indianapolis, where they hear from ag bioscience leaders. You can find more information on that at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got an interesting setup here over the course of the next few days. We're going to be looking at much colder air trying to come in immediately after the Thanksgiving holiday, and it's going to hold through early December. So, wild ride here. Temperatures were quite mild yesterday as we kick off the work week. We're going to be seeing some clouds around. That's going to put a little bit of a lid on temperatures, but still not seeing the bottom fall out right away here. So, I think through your Monday, we are mostly cloudy. I won't rule out some spits and sprinkles, but moisture equivalents are only going to be about a few hundredths to a tenth or two, if that. It's not a big batch of moisture, just more clouds and drizzle. I do think that as we go through tomorrow, Tuesday, we see sunshine coming back, slightly cooler air coming in. We're dividing the country north versus south. Cold air trying to come right across the northern plains through the upper Midwest and into the Great Lakes region. And we're going to be in this transition zone over Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. So I think your Tuesday turns out partly sunny, but we are going to be seeing slightly cooler air in here. Wednesday, clouds will be building through the day. I think we see sunshine to start the day in most areas, but then we turn out mostly cloudy by late. And then overnight, Wednesday night through Thursday. So getting into Thanksgiving, we are going to be dealing with some precipitation. Now, before anybody gets all wild and crazy, I've seen the Facebook, the social media meteorologists getting after it, talking about huge batches of snow. Oh, stick a sock in it. We have no idea yet. Low pressure is going to be moving out of the central plains and southern plains through the Missouri and Tennessee Valley. So there is a solid low there. But honestly, guys, I'm not seeing huge moisture equivalents here. I think the liquid equivalents are going to be anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain out of this for overnight Wednesday night into Thursday. Yes, there's going to be some cold air that dives down for Thanksgiving Day, but I feel the precipitation may be almost done before the crux of the cold air really gets here. So my thought process is we see rain, and then through Thanksgiving Day, we get colder. Maybe it ends as some wet snowflakes over the region. Is it going to cause problems getting back and forth to Grandma's house? Absolutely not, at least the way I see it right now. We are going to be chilly to finish the day, so it's going to be a good day to have the oven on, roasting turkey, the yams, the whole bit. Going to be a fantastic day for that, but I don't think it is a massive snow event. Now, let's be clear. Behind that low, it doesn't just get cold for Thanksgiving afternoon. We see a reinforcing shot of cold Canadian air diving down to finish the week and go into the weekend. So below normal temperatures for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, flipping the calendar over into December. We probably see some streaks of snow coming through there. I see a minor clipper like system trying to come through for Saturday afternoon into Sunday. So some on again, off again snowflakes, definitely seeing some lake effect potential here with clouds and snow. But the cold air wants to sit all the way through most of that first full week of December. If we moderate temperatures at all, I think it's going to be closer to the 5th into the 6th. And even then, the moderation may not reach through the entire state. It may partially put down into southwest Indiana and nowhere else. So we'll have to see. Hey, the pattern change is upon us here. The weeks and months of above normal temperatures that we got so used to through, well, even late November, those are gone here starting this week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Quiet and up and down in corn, soybeans post some gains while wheat goes lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up. We'll begin with market analysis, and that comes from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian, middle of the trading session Friday. Beans are up. Corn is back and forth. Wheat has been lower throughout the trading session, but a glimmer of hope going into the weekend for corn and beans. What do you see?
Yeah, thanks for having me as always, Andy. I do think we're seeing a glimmer of hope for the beans. Maybe they tested the contract lows in that January contract, which are at 973.5. And I think we saw a little bit of short covering down there. We've got a long way to grow in this South American growing season. I'm not saying that that is going to hold moving forward by any means, but at least until we get further along in this growing season, particularly in Brazil, the market may be hesitant to really pressure that to the downside at these levels. I would remind your listeners, though, going forward, that if Brazil does approach what the USDA is forecasting for them, those lows definitely could be vulnerable moving forward into December and January. But coming back to Friday's trade here, I think we're seeing some short covering. On the corn side, we continue to see good export demand. On Thursday of last week, the USDA reported a really nice export sales total for corn. We're way above last year, over 260 million bushels above last year in terms of outstanding corn sales, what's on the books and not been shipped yet. So the market is looking at that and realizing that U.S. will probably be the main shop in town, if you will, Andy, all the way into early, if not mid-2025. So, yes, we have a record crop. I'm not a record yield. We have ample supplies, but we're certainly trying to put a dent in that pile of corn, and so that's supported things. Wheat, I think, we're still looking at the concern about the Black Sea situation, but maybe a little bit of a pullback from that. But boy, that's a very fluid situation. I wouldn't want to go too far out on that limb what could happen there. But yeah, it's nice to see the producer standpoint. I see beans at least hold for the time being and corn hanging in there at some levels we haven't seen for a while here.
It sounds like as far as what markets may do in the future that you're relatively optimistic for corn and not so much soybeans.
Yeah, and I think from a risk management standpoint too, Andy, I'd remind your listeners that, again, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but the crop insurance period is set. The price is set. You got to defend your balance sheet. It's very important for a producer to defend that balance sheet with any unpriced 2024 corn and soybean bushels. And as you said, if we're looking at the Brazilian crop potential this year being way above last year, as much as 20 million tons potential above last year, that soybean balance sheet here in the U.S. could look very heavy by the time next summer rolls around. So a good way to defend that balance sheet would be get a floor underneath these markets or bean market, either to price the beans or to purchase a put option and leave the upside open. If you price the beans, one alternative I'd suggest, Andy, would be to purchase a call option, because if something happens in Brazil or Argentina with poor weather, the market would be expected to see some type of rebound. But back to your question again, corn is holding its own. I just think that we've got such a strong export market that the corn is going to be probably the stronger of the two. And I'd remind your listeners, Andy, that's being reflected in the 2025 prices. As I look at the November 25 futures ratio, the ratio of November 25 beans, December 25 corn, it's all the way at 2.3. And that's definitely leaning towards favoring more corn acres for 2025. So, yeah, I think for the time being, the market is looking at more of a supportive undertone, is what I'd say for corn, and more of a pressure overhead to rallies on the bean side.
Market insights from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Here are the Friday settlements now. December corn ends down just a little, a penny and a quarter lower at 425.5 after a back and forth last hour or two of the session. 435.25 March corn down a penny. May down 0.75, 442.5. Up a nickel and 0.75 on January January soybeans, 983.5, 992.25 for the March contract, and May, 1005.75. Both March and May finishing up 7 cents. December wheat down 4.5 cents, 544.25. March down almost a nickel. In the meats, December live cattle, 186.77, up 117. February, 188.20, up 77. December lean hogs, 81.67, up 87. February, 85.67, up $1.02. I'm Andy Eubank. That's the Friday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.